Jofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. Friday night, we made it. Here we go. I smell a rat. That's where, look, I'm going to explain to you exactly what went down today in Washington, D.C. and why. And I've scoured the networks. I'm looking at everybody, all the usual talking heads. Nobody seems to have a good grasp on what's going on. And my theory's correct. So just bear with me. And let me first set the scene. We have a bill, right? I mean, well, this bill. We don't have a bill anymore. The bill is up in smoke. It did exactly what I predicted earlier this week. It was DOA, dead on arrival, did not happen. Just a few hours ago, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, decided to pull the vote, advised the president of the same. And I'll tell you, this is the funny thing. So you got to understand why we got to this place. This bill is got to be for Republicans the holy grail. Okay, this is it. It's tax cuts and Obamacare, and getting rid of Obamacare is a cornerstone, has been. I mean, if you feel like it, follow Trump for a minute. You know, go back, take a minute, review, play the tapes of all the rallies that happened during the campaign. And what did you hear over and over again? We're going to repeal Obamacare. We're going to get rid of it. It's going to be gone. This plan is terrible. It's awful. It's the world's worst thing. It's a three-legged dog with a bad case of fleas. And then before that, and even concurrently, the House, I don't know if you realize this, you know, the House of Representatives, for the most part, the same cats here that threw this thing out the window, voted over 60 times to repeal Obamacare. I mean, it was a largely symbolic effort because at the time, even if the House repeal would go to the Senate and pass through the Senate, it had no chance of surviving the veto pen of one President Obama, who would not in any way, shape or form ever, never allow that bill to be repealed. But it's symbolic. You got to understand, this is a chamber of committed Republican legislatures to get rid of Obamacare. But we didn't, from the get-go, get a clean repeal bill, did we? And a lot of opinions have sloshed back and forth as to why that's the case. Now, why? Oh, well, you know, it's that Ryan guy. You know, he's just, and this is a plausible theory, of course. Ryan's a policy wonk. He's the Boy Scout. He doesn't want to just repeal it. He wants to replace it. He wants to put his own policy, you know, fingerprints all over healthcare and be the guy that comes in the shining armor, white horse, and saves the day. And so, much like the Democrats did 8 years ago, the Republicans did what? That's right. The Ryan team crafted this bill in secrecy. In some dark room, in fact, as early as this morning, I'm reading nonsensical statements coming from House leadership, from the Republicans, and they are saying that this, you know, you've got to pass the bill to know what's in it. And this is comedy that is bordering on tragedy, because, of course, this is exactly what Nancy Pelosi told us 8 years ago. Yeah, no, we're not going to let you read the bill. No. And I think, remember that photo op? There's a photo op and there was a stack of paperwork. I mean, we're not going to show you what's in it. You've got to, and she literally told, it was her and Steny Hoyer and all those people, they literally told lawmakers, you can't read it. You got to, it's an up or down vote. You got to vote for it or not, because you're not going to know. We can't even get into the details right now. And now the Republicans were doing the same thing. So, why? If you go back to the campaign trail, as I said earlier, you ought to, because this is going to be a little trip down memory lane. You remember that Trump said, we got to repeal this. We got to repeal this bill. We got to get rid of it. Lock, stock, and barrel. It's got to be eliminated. And the crowds went wild and they cheered and everybody loved it. But he also said something else. And he kept repeating this And you know what I'm talking about, by the way. I think maybe you do. He would always end it with, you know, I mean, the politically expedient thing would be to let it fail, to let it blow up in the Democrats' faces. Because as you will remember, there wasn't a single Republican that voted for Obamacare. None. Zip. Zero. Zilch. They couldn't get one GOP member on board. It's a Democrat bill. The Democrats own it. It's their baby. And if it goes up in flames, the Republicans are in a better position than if they vote in and pass a flawed bill that will itself have many multiple problems. And the actual original bill never had a chance to fail. Does this make sense? So I try to look at things and step back from it and take everything in to get a sense of where perhaps things are going. And I want you, I want to play a couple clips here of Paul Ryan speaking. So procedurally, here's what happened. The bill gets crafted in a dark, smoke-filled room. Not very many eyes are allowed to even fall on it. Then when the details of the bill come out, it's a giant shock to everybody. And especially the House Freedom Caucus members, I was talking to you about them earlier in the week. These guys are looking at it going, this is Obamacare light. This thing is nonsense. It's crap. It's baloney. They dig their heels in. They're not going to vote for it. And now a little bit of this sort of odd race to plug the holes, to bolt on certain things, happens to try to appease certain people. And that pisses off other people. So then there's this whole back and forth trying to fix the bill. And the whole time to me, it just seems like this phony effort. It just seems like this half-baked, you know, this half-baked effort to actually come together with a really decent piece of legislation. So what's cooking? Right? So they get this thing out and they realize they don't have the votes. Well, let me tell you something. If you are Paul Ryan, you know what votes you have and you don't have. So forget the hyperbole, forget the bluster. Ryan has a lot of weaknesses, but he's a parliamentarian. He didn't get to be Speaker of the House by not being a political hack. Of course, he knows where his members are, where they are, what they're thinking, what they're doing. And this wasn't, folks, this wasn't a mystery. You know, it wasn't like these guys that were going to vote no suddenly popped up this morning and said, the vote was supposed to be last night. So they didn't pop up last night and say, well, hey, no, we're not doing this. And so when smart people, regardless of what you think of their politics, when smart politicians start to do stupid things, the first thing I wonder is it really stupid? So listen here. This is Paul Ryan's, we'll call this his swan song. When it was clear that the bill was not going to pass, he had to pull it. He held a press conference at the Capitol. And here is what he said. Play clip four, Robbie.
You've all heard me say this before. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains today. We came really close today, but we came up short. I spoke to the president just a little while ago, and I told him that the best thing I think to do is to pull this bill, and he agreed with that decision. I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Doing big things is hard. All of us, myself included, we will need time to reflect on how we got to this moment, what we could have done to do it better.
We will need time to reflect on this moment. Did you catch that? Because that right there is a tell. We need time. I don't hear that we're going to hit the ground running tomorrow and I'm going to work the whole weekend through and I'm really going to sit down and figure out, you know, what things, you know, the House Freedom Caucus needed and what things the more liberal members of the House GOP caucus need to make them happy. By the way, he knows what they want. It's a matter of taking, I mean, there's been an intense period of discussions, of meetings, of input, of collaborative efforts, and so the ideas are all there. I mean, they've got this They've got some kind of a thought tree on this already. But he needs time. And I'll tell you, this is this next clip starts to shed a little bit more light on what the time aspect of this will intend to achieve. Clip five.
Actually, I think we were probably doing the Democrats a favor. I think we were doing the architects of Obama a favor by passing this law before it gets even worse. Well, I guess that favor is not going to be given to them, and it's going to get worse. And so I don't think the architects of Obamacare, I'm sure they may be pleased right now, but when they see how bad this thing gets, based on all the projections we're being told by the plans that are participating in Obamacare, I don't think they're going to like that either.
Now, so again, see what's happening here. Well, Paul Ryan is saying, you know, hey, you actually, Democrats, listen up. We were, you know, by getting this bill up and running, this is what I was saying earlier, you know, getting this, you know, putting in a Republican care, Ryan care, Trump care, whatever you want to call it, by putting out a plan that is, you know, that was going to be an alternative to Obamacare, was going to repeal it and replace it with, you know, with a series of new policy directives that may or may not be good. We were doing you guys a colossal failure because regardless of what happens with healthcare now moving forward, see, it would be on the Republicans. And I'm beginning to feel, as I survey the landscape here and seeing what's going on, that it was never the Republicans' intention to pass this bill. Look, if they wanted to pass it, a couple of points. If they wanted to pass it, they would have taken an extra week to talk to everybody and get them all on board. After all, this is the same House that voted 62, 63 times to repeal Obamacare. The votes are there. There are no fans here. And that's all, by the way, that is all Ryan could have done. That is something that the base wants. That is the promise that Trump was elected on. Look, people aren't too consumed with policy. They want Obamacare gone because for most people, they are worse off now than they were before Obama stuck his nose into healthcare. For most Americans, premiums have gone up. For most Americans, the taxation burden has increased. For most people, especially people in the know who are voting, they would prefer to roll back the clock. And that is all Paul Ryan had to do. And he didn't. And Trump, instead of from the get go, and yeah, there's some talk in the beginning that he had his, you know, Mulvaney was involved and Price was involved. Make no mistake, it's definitely been a bill. What's your perception of the bill? You got to ask yourself that. Is it Trump's bill or is it Ryan's bill? The quick emotional response is, or the quick, you know, from your gut check on it is that this is Ryan's baby. So what happened here is Trump sent Ryan out, supported him 100%. And I'm using my, you know, I'm using my index fingers to, you know, middle finger here to do air quotes. Supported him 100%, sent him out there with Ryan's bill, which was a dead ding dong loser from the beginning. And now it's repealed, and now it didn't get passed, and now Obamacare doesn't get repealed, and now we're back to where? Where are we? We are exactly where we were on day one of Trump's presidency, and it's not a bad thing. Well, it's not, perhaps, not an unintended consequence. Because now Trump, what can he say? I tried. In fact, something I saw today, he said, well, I we should have started with taxes first. It's already beginning. See that little back pedal there? He's getting political, interestingly enough. But the greater issue is there's plausible deniability. Now I'll do this right after the break because I want you to hear directly exactly what Trump said in a quickly called press conference right after news broke and Ryan said his bit, because it really is it's an echo of what Ryan is saying. And it'll remind you, by the way, of what you heard on the campaign trail. And you really have to ask yourself, is some of this ringing true? Because what happens now moving forward is if the Republicans allowed Obamacare, to go up in smoke without moving a finger. That's bad politically. But if the Republicans said, hey, we tried, but you know what? We got some of these, you know, wascally conservatives, and then we got these liberals over here, and the Democrats aren't doing a bloody thing about it. Now they can put their hands up and say, look, hey, you know, in the words of Paul Ryan, we're going to need some time. I don't know. It sure smells like we're on the right track here. All right, I'll tell you what Trump said right when we get back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC, back with my theory here on how I think the Republicans let this plan go down in flames on purpose. And I'll tell you, you know, I just shared a couple clips right before the break of Paul Ryan. And in it, he was talking about how, you know, now's the time to reflect and we're going to need some time. And I also reminded you and I of how Trump during the campaign would always say, he'd say, look, we got to replace Obamacare. I mean, the politically expedient thing would be, of course, to let it fail, let it blow up in the Democrats' faces and have that albatross hang on the necks of the Democratic Party for decades to come. Well, of course, the flip side of it is that it's not the politically smart thing to do to let bad legislation go up in smoke. And if you're the guy who's at the controls, if you're the one driving the car, I don't care what happened to the car before you took it over. You're at the wheel. You're in charge. You got to do something about it. And so you've got to give it your best efforts. And now the Republicans can say, hey, yeah, we gave it our best efforts. And look at how all over the board our caucus is, our party is. And we're unable to get consensus. We're unable to get enough votes to pass it. And this is, by the way, very different from what anyone else is saying. I'm just there right now. And it may take a few days for people to catch up, as is usually the case. But right now, I'm seeing all these pieces about this, you know, disaster of the Republican Party. Drudge had a picture running. I don't know if it's still up, but had a picture of the Hindenburg going up in flames. I mean, you know, I am tickled pink that this bill failed. It was crap. And I want to talk a little bit later, and I will in the second half here, about if this was actually a serious effort and Trump was actually seriously behind it, it's a catastrophe. Because it goes against everything that he promised in his campaign. But speaking of what he promised in his campaign, the statement he gave today in response to the phone call that he received from Paul Ryan saying that the bill would have to be pulled, that they didn't have enough votes. Here is exactly what Trump said when being asked about it. And he's talking now and just reminding you back to the campaign. He's mentioning something here that I want to analyze right when we get off this. So let's play the tape.
I think the losers are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, because now they own Obamacare. They own it, 100% own it. And this is not a Republican health care. This is not anything but a Democrat health care. And they have Obamacare for a little while longer until it ceases to exist, which it will at some point in the near future. And just remember, this is not our bill. This is their bill.
It's not our bill. It's their bill. See how quickly that turned around? Now, of course, look, so the flip side to it, and people are going to say this, they're going to say, well, this is a means of explaining away a failure. And my point here is that everybody that voted on this bill, the House Freedom Caucus, the group of libertarian leading Republicans who care about fiscal issues, want a tight budget, don't want handouts, don't want gifts in it, really want the government out of healthcare, and would have been 100% okay with a full repeal of Obamacare. These folks, this was no secret how many of them there were, and how they felt about what needed to happen. No mystery. So what I'm telling you is, if Paul Ryan really cared about making this bill happen, If Trump really cared about making this bill happen, they would have done it. They would have made it happen. And this is from Paul Ryan, who, by the way, is able to get him. The guy got reelected as speaker. Can we just reflect back? You know, what was it? This is a guy who was in at one point in the primary. It was looking like he might actually lose his seat. That's how unpopular this dude was. And he went from that to being able to hold on to his speakership. He's not, I don't like him, but that doesn't make him a political idiot. He knows what he's doing. If he wanted it to happen, he would have rounded up the votes. Your job, for Pete's sake, Speaker of the House, you herd cats for a living. That's what you do. All right, speaking of herding cats and the news happening in the world, we got John Wolfe up next. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And welcome back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Happy Friday. Bottom of the hour, we are moving right along. And, you know, just a little programming side note. Let me remind you, I'm getting kind of excited about this. Not that I didn't wish that the Kings went to the playoffs or not, but it will be nonstop Sam Nation, Monday through Friday, every night, because the season's coming to an end. So no more interruptions, and I'll be able to talk with you every evening. I'm really excited about that. I really am. So, set your dials, set your alarm clocks, and let's do this. Now, I'm trying to unpackage this thing, everything that went down this week, and by the way, in quite a spectacular finish earlier today, when the House, the new RyanCare, so-called RyanCare bill, went down in flames, up in flames or down in flames? I guess we could say down in flames because it didn't go anywhere up. It didn't go up to the Senate. It just went kind of crashing back down to the floor of the House where it didn't even hit the, they pulled the bill because they didn't have the votes. And by the way, think about that for a minute. They kept saying they're going to force a bill. This is what I'm getting at. They didn't know that they could. Your theory that he just let this thing fail on purpose is nonsense. They knew they didn't have the votes. Otherwise, why would he pull the bill? Didn't force the vote. Didn't want to totally public humiliate. But now there's this plausible deniability. And Ryan's and Trump's plausible deniability is, look, we tried. We tried to put together a bill that would work. We tried to put together a compromise. We tried to fix this terrible thing called Obamacare. But we just weren't able to do it. We didn't have the votes. Sorry. Did he just kind of remind you of school? Like I'm thinking back to law school. You know, professor gives you there's something called a graded project, a graded paper, a graded test. And then you've got one that's like a practice test. And the professor tells you, what does he tell you? Give it your best effort. Well, let me ask you, just between us, okay, when it's for a grade, don't you work a little bit harder on it than when it's just for the best effort? I mean, well, maybe I wasn't a very good student, but yeah, definitely, for sure. When it's graded, when it counts, it counts. And here for the Republicans, the better thing to do, really, politically, is to let Obamacare continue to unravel. And remember, it was Obama originally put this legislation together and put a poison pill in it. And Obama's thing was it was going to run out of money here within the year. Hillary Clinton was going to be president. Democrats would have both houses. And what were they going to do? Nationalize healthcare. Boom. That was always the plan. The failure of Obamacare was built into it. And of course, in typical liberal left-wing commie pinko fashion, the solution is not less of their BS, but more of it. That's the first thing communists did in Eastern Europe. Oh, a five-year plan doesn't work. Well, we need more five-year plans. Freaking idiots. Delusional. But the Ryan Care plan had its own poison pill in it, too. I just want to remind you of this, because when I looked at that mandate, the fine that was not going to be paid to the government, but instead to private insurance companies, if you dropped off, doesn't pass constitutional muster. I explained this the other night. Flies directly in the face of the Sebelius case that gave Obamacare its constitutional legitimacy. So the Ryan Care plan had its own poison pill written to it. And it would have been something that the Senate had it by some miracle passed the House. The Senate would have attacked it, too. It was never intended to go anywhere fast. We've been hoodwinked. But fortunately, you listen to this program, so you are very well informed, and you're not going to get hoodwinked for long. That's for sure. All right. We'll be back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. So John McCain, my favorite senator, has been in the news complaining that he has yet to meet President Trump in office. And I guess his point that he's making is that really Trump needs to do more outreach. I don't think anybody's told McCain that Trump doesn't like him. So perhaps, just maybe, the reason, Senator McCain, that Trump hasn't, welcomed you with open arms is because you guys hate each other. I mean, I don't know if there's any. Am I missing something here? This is hilarious. But the point here that I want to make is that Trump actually, this feeds into the whole idea of plausible deniability when it comes to the failure of the Ryan Care bill. And that is that Trump did a tremendous amount of outreach. And mind you, tremendous amount of public outreach. And I always thought that there was two purposes for this. I assume there's some quid pro quo with Ryan, because Trump's big thing that he wants, and it was again in the news today because Trump was lamenting that perhaps he should have done tax cuts first, because it's the most important thing to him. Tax cuts. It's a cornerstone of his agenda and of his economic policy. If you are conservative and you understand economics, you know the only way Trump can really pick this economy up and get it moving is tax cuts. You've got rising interest rates over here, and that's happening. The Fed is raising rates, and you've got to stimulate the economy on the other hand by slashing the cost of doing business in America and incentivizing investments. So Trump knows this, and that's the holy grail for him, and he's got to get there. So now he can move on to tax cuts again. You know, this plan went up in smoke, and you heard Paul Ryan saying, "Well, I tried. We tried, and now we're going to need some time." But the comments, and I don't know, I don't even have time right now to play all the clips. But the comments of Paul Ryan, I would describe as effusive praise of President Trump. In one of the clips in his statements, he is praising Tom Price, the president, the vice president, Mulvaney, the budget director. I mean, he is laying it on thick. And why wouldn't he? Trump, at least from my perspective, did everything that the Speaker of the House would possibly want him to do. I mean, he even went to the Capitol to lobby for this bill. He had congressmen over for bowling. What a wild party that must have been. But, it's not this thing's just I smell a rat. There's a setup here. Now, I want to. Well, there's a setup here, too. Did you see the story in the news about the guy with the driving test? There's some guy in England. And this is a guy who finally, after 25 years, was able to pass his driving test. Did you catch this? 33 attempts, 14 instructors. The guy spent £10,000, which was before Brexit about $15,000, $16,000. Now it's about $11,000. But a lot of money. And I guess somewhere in here, there's a quote from his husband saying, yeah, he's kind of a bad driver. He's just an accident waiting to happen. So that, of course, I'm reading this article. And it was not just a good break from all the crazy political stuff going on. But I'm reading this article and I'm going, God, this is why people need Sui James. Because in our midst, driving on the same freeway that you and I are on, there are these kind of people that haven't been able to pass their freaking driving test for a number of years. And these people are driving big cars. Forget it. Small cars. They're driving these. I'm telling you, somebody doesn't pass their driving test for 25 years. There should be a cutoff, don't you think? Like, just you're done. Because there's people that are accident prone. They get into accidents over and over again. And their insurance companies, the most frustrating thing about it is their insurance companies stand up for them. They'll fight you tooth and nail. They know they're insuring a crazy person, but they'll still fight you and they will refuse to pay you what's fair. What you need a lawyer. And you don't just need any lawyer. You need Sweet James Bergener because he's the lawyer that will fight for you. He's the lawyer that will protect your rights. He's the lawyer that will make sure that you get the justice that you deserve. Call him, 800-881-2021, or you can also visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, we'll be back right after this. All right. Sam Rojofsky here. You want a good bellwether on what's going on in the Trump world, you just need to look no further than Breitbart. And Breitbart News, of course, being the so-called by CNN alt-right news site formerly run by none other than Steve Bannon, who is Trump's architect, political architect, and we would say the left thinks of him as sort of a Trumpist Rasputin. Is that a fair statement? Well, I mean, they've been trashing this bill from the get-go, this Ryan Care bill. And that's another tea leaf for you to consider in all of this. But there's a very important point in all of this that Trump, whatever his intentions were here, whether it was to doom this thing from the get-go, have plausible deniability, as I think, later to not do anything and allow Obamacare to spectacularly fail, or if it really was to just pass anything and something to get it out of the way and, you know, just be expedient and deliver on a promise, but perhaps in a half-baked way. There's something very important that happened in the background that was not covered on CNN, was not covered on MSNBC, and that was a legitimate backlash from the base. Had this bill passed in its present form, had it passed the House, and had it passed the Senate, which I think is fundamentally impossible, but had that happened, this would have been a disaster for Trump. Absolutely a disaster, because this is not a movement about Trump. What happened in this election is not about Trump. The Republican Party is, these are not Trumpists. These are people that want fundamental change and not the BS kind of nonsense that you know, the fool's gold that Obama was peddling. No. This election was about a rejection of politics as usual, political games, expedient moves, selling out campaign promises. The people that put Trump into office will turn on Trump so fast, your head will spin if Trump in any way, shape, or form is perceived in any way, shape, or form of stabbing them in the back. And so my greater point in all of this is, You know, we started to see some deep currents moving and shifting behind the scenes as we were arguing back and forth about this bill. And the warning is that what we demand, the change that we demand in Washington, we expect Trump to do it. And if he's not going to do it, somebody else will. And, you know, the loyalty from the base will only go so far as the promises being kept being fulfilled. And that's why a solution has to be wrought here. And Obama, we got to get rid of Obamacare. We've got to turn, because by getting rid of Obamacare, you get the market. The marketplace will fix this. The marketplace will give people a product that they want better than any government can. All right. We are out of time. We're back on Monday, 7 p.m. And soon, in a couple weeks, we're going to be here. We're going to be here 5 days a week. So that, I think, is very exciting. Have a great weekend, folks. And I will talk to you Monday night. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, it says I'm going to win big. Choose not.